of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but also for also those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me before, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me, and I have made my name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. What do we need to have unity? Number one, the first key is truth. Sanctify them in truth. We must be sanctified, set apart. Now, he's not talking about agreeing on the application of every verse. That can't be true. But we can agree and must on the essentials, and I would point you to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. There's a pretty good starting place. Essential truths that bind us together with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, His church. There's one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. Now I want to suggest to you that when Jesus says sanctify them in truth, certainly the one faith is included. That is the Scriptures, the Word of God. But it's bigger. I'm sure of it. It's bigger than that. How does the Gospel of John begin? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who is the Word? It's Jesus. He's the Word. He's the one who sanctifies. He's the true and living way. He's the interpretation of Scripture. We need to get that, brethren. It's always been true that God, and to the extent he has revealed himself, is the interpretation of Scripture. We must understand that to understand any text. You've got to see the Word through the lens of Jesus Christ. If you don't, you'll never get it. It has to start there. And so in verse 22, he said, I've shown them, I've given them glory. What glory is that? It's His image that shines in us as it did in them. John said, we beheld His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what they beheld. And we started saying, our hope is to be like Him. That's our hope. That's our goal. And when He comes, we will be. But in the meantime, we're taking the mirror of God's Word and we're beholding Jesus there so that we can become more like Him. That's what we're doing. We're seeing His image, and then we're molding ourselves to be like the Lord that we love and are pursuing. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. That's a wonderful text, that whole chapter. But in the end, what he's saying is, look, the first thing you need to do is be set apart in Christ Jesus. You've got to be made holy to God. And having done that, understand you were translated into a new realm, heavenly places. You've been brought into the kingdom of God. You've been given new life. Oh, this world that we live in, so marred with strife, so marred with disunity, fighting on every level. What are the main areas where we're at war with each other in our own world today? Would you say race relations are part of the problem? And by all kinds of, not just black and white, and it's not new Jew and Gentile, and that's still a war that goes on in places, Americans and Russians or Chinese, however you want to frame it. That's an area. The war between the sexes goes on, men and women at each other's throat, not understanding, believing they are in competition rather than harmony with each other, fighting each other, the rich and poor, socioeconomic differences, the capitalist versus the socialist, all of those things that we see. Well, let me tell you what happens in the body of Christ. Those things are left behind. In terms of the love we have for each other. They don't matter. They don't matter where you go and you meet the people of God. And so in Galatians 3, and beginning in verse 26, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. What a witness, brethren, it would be to God if we could ever get a glimpse of this new creation. If here, wherever the saints are meeting, wherever those congregations are, if people could see within them something different, see a harmony, see a unity, see a love that is expressed one to another, regardless of these other things that may be there, that those barriers are broken down in the body of Christ in a way they can never be in the world. When that happens, we show the world the image of God. The light shines through. What the world is longing for, what they're fighting for, amazingly, what they're struggling for, it's here. This is it. We've got to see it and show it. Galatians 5 and verses 13 through 15, for you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you are consumed by one another. And if you caught it at the end of John 17, Jesus said, "In through the unity, that we would be brought to love each other. Even as the Father loved him, he loved the Father. So we love each other and show the world God. That's what we are to witness." Let me close with this then. Romans 15, verses 5 through 7. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, we're giving the world an opportunity to see God is still in the world. God loves the world. He's not left and abandoned the world, for his body is still here declaring the good news and reconciling men to God, and in doing so to one another. May God help us in doing so.
Good evening. You've seen Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Remember that one? There we go. Time is filled with swift transition. The heart of earth from who shall stand? Build your hopes on things eternal. Will now hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God's unchanging. Everybody ought to hold to his hand, to my God's unchanging hand. Well, and build your hopes on things eternal. Will now hold to God's unchanging hand. Will and trust in him who will not leave you. Well, whatsoever years may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, well, we ought to still more closely to him cling. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God's unchanging. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God's unchanging hand. Well, and build your hopes on things eternal. Well, now hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, and covet not this world's vain riches. Well, that so rapidly decay. Well, just seek to gain the heavenly treasures. Well, now they will never pass away. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God's unchanging. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Well, and build your hopes on things eternal. Well, now hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, and when your journey is completed, well, and if to God you have been true, well, fair and bright the home in glory. Well, now you're in rapture, so shall everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God's unchanging. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Well, and build your hopes on things eternal. Well, now hold to God's unchanging. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. Hold on to my God.
Amen, amen. What a blessing it is to be here even on tonight. Good to see all of the beautiful faces that we see on tonight. What a blessing it is to be gathered together for this great and beautiful occasion, to come together to worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. Good to see y'all. Y'all look good. Amen. Yeah, y'all look like y'all want to be here too. That's a blessing. Amen. I believe David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said it. Amen. What a blessing it is. We are glad to be here. Good to see you all. I want to give you greetings from the Southeast 10th Avenue Church of Christ. It is surely a blessing just to be a part of this unity service. I want to thank my friend Mark. We have Mark and Mark. That's interesting. I love that. That's good. That's awesome. Mark and Mark. Mark preached the entire unity lesson. Amen. So that means I don't have nothing but 10 minutes and an invitation. Amen. Somebody should be excited. Amen. He preached all of it. See, we were trying to figure out who was going to go first. And whoever went first had the advantage. And he some kind of way won that. And so therefore, he's preached all the good stuff. And I have the leftovers. But y'all know how leftovers is. Leftovers good too. Amen. Some of y'all know when you put greens in the pot and you let them sit a little bit longer, that juice and all that stuff gets down in those collard greens. And when they come out the next day, they're better than they was day one. Amen, somebody. Now, find your Bible. I would ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 5. I would now give you application on all of the beautiful things that Mark has already given you even on this evening. I would ask you to meet me in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. I'm going to be just as simple to say, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. All things aside, we have a unified purpose. And that purpose is to save souls. Amen. Souls, guess what? Souls have no color. Amen. Souls are souls. Amen. And everybody has a soul. I believe Jesus said, what shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and he lose his soul? We are on a soul mission for Jesus the Christ. Amen. Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. If you have the text, say amen. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And as he was there, the Bible says in verse number 2, I like verse number 1 because they gathered together to want to hear the word. What a time it is when folk gather together, not for the football game, not for the Super Bowl, not for a concert, amen, but to hear the word of God. Here we are in an opportunity where people were literally pressing Jesus to hear the word of God. The Bible says Jesus was so pressed in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he made an observation. And the observation was this, that there were two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. They had already been fishing all night long. They had worked real hard and now they are cleaning up from the work that they have come to do. Verse number 3 says, and he entered into one of the ships. And I want you to know that any time that Jesus does something, Jesus is always intentional. He never does something by mistake. He is always intentional. Jesus here gets in the boat of Peter. Peter is known, as we would know through the history, as the leader, the spokesman. He's always the one who steps out. Sometimes he's wrong and sometimes he's right. In Matthew 16, in one place, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you got it this time. Later on in the same chapter, he said, Lord, you talking about dying and all that stuff? No, I will not have it. Jesus had to turn around and say, oh, get thee behind me, Satan. Y'all ain't seeing it. In one place he was right, and in one place he was wrong. But even though he tried to do what's right, he was a leader to the rest of the disciples. Listen, that Jesus got into the boat of the leader of the disciples. Why is that important? Because I want you to know, leaders, men of God, servants of God, elders, I need you to understand tonight that make sure Jesus is in the boat of our leaders. Amen. If we're going to get to where God will have us to go, we need to make sure Jesus is on the ship. Amen. The Bible says, and entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust it out from the land. So Jesus would have space and opportunity to speak to the people. The Bible says in verse number 5, now when he had left speaking. Now, I want you to understand something. In verse number 4, verse number 3, the Bible says he taught them. Before we do anything, it is essential, it is important. That's why I'm glad we're having this tonight. It's important before you ever ask anyone to do something, you teach them first. Amen. Jesus dealt with his disciple for nearly 3 years. We know it wasn't quite 3 years, but he worked with them, preparing them for kingdom business, preparing them to do the work of ministry, to go out and to seek and to save the lost. He prepared them how to love one another. He showed them that when he washed their feet. He showed them how to be able to work together when he sent them out two by two. Jesus is preparing them for the work of ministry. They never went out one by one. They went out two by two. I need you to understand, God never meant for us to work alone. He always has wanted us to work together. In the text, we see here that Jesus, before he ever tells them or gives them a challenge to do a thing, he teaches them first. Once he teaches the people, then Jesus brings forth a challenge. The text says in verse number 4, now when he had what? Left speaking. Jesus was done with the sermon. Jesus is done with the lesson. Now what do you need to do? It is time to put faith into action. Amen. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. If we say we are and we believe what we say we do, then we ought to be able to operate and function in that faith. Amen. We believe that the church of Christ, we believe in the body of Christ, we believe in this beautiful woman, this bride, as Mark has so adequately beautifully painted the picture for us tonight. Therefore, we understand and realize that this is a beautiful body. And if we believe in this body, we work together to bring more folk to that truth and that understanding. The Bible says here in the text, now when he had left speaking, he had said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, I need you to understand that Jesus is using physical fishing, but he's not getting ready to call them to physical fishing. He's getting ready to call them to spiritual fishing. But he uses what they had already been in occupation of doing to prepare them for what he really wanted them to do. I need you to know sometimes God, even in the Old Testament, had them already ready and prepared for what he was going to call them to do. Remember that David was already a shepherd's boy before he called him to be king, right? Remember that there were always men who were always working in the work of what God was going to have them to do before he ever called them. He was preparing them for their calling and preparing them for what the work that they would do in the kingdom are in the work of the Lord. So we see here that they were already fishermen, and God is getting ready just to transfer their service from not being fishermen of men, of fish, but fishermen of men. The text tells us, he says, launch out into the deep. Now, I would give you another thing here that is very important and to give you an application. This application is this: we can't catch fish in shallow water. I'm going to say that one more time. We can't catch fish in shallow water. If you want to catch fish, you have to go to where the fish are. Amen. You can't catch fish just in the building. Amen. If you want to catch fish, you got to go to the campus. If you want to catch fish, you got to get out to the out in the field. Amen. You have to go where the fish are. Now, some people get complacent with just coming to the building and checking off a box. But I come today to tell you, our work as a unified body of Christ is not to catch fish in shallow water, because fish are not in shallow water. That's where you get your feet wet, amen? That's where you get to stroll on the beach and be comfortable. When we're getting our feet wet, we're just trying to be cute, right? But God says, I don't need you to be cute. I need you to be a worker for the Lord. Amen, somebody. I need you to get dirty. I need you to get wet. I need you to be ready to work in the kingdom of God. Being faithful unto death is not just coming and being a member and checking a box. Being faithful is being faithful to the cause of Christ in every way, in every facet. The Bible says, launch out into the deep, for that's where the fish are. They're in the deep water. They're in the places we're not comfortable with. They're in the neighborhoods we don't always go to. They're in the places, there's souls everywhere. And our job is to seek and to save those who are lost. Amen? That's our job. We are fishermen, and fishermen go get the fish. The Bible says, let down your nets for a drought. Look at verse number 5. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master. Now look at the text. I need you to know this is the part of what we refer to the second calling. We remember the first calling of them to ministry when Jesus showed up and you had that they were disciples of John the Baptist. Many of you all remember that John the Baptist said, listen, there's somebody coming after me that's preferred before me. Matter of fact, to tell you the truth, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. Amen. He's better than me. And then the Bible says when they realized, and one Nathaniel found out that he was from Nazareth, he said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Here we are in the second calling. Jesus is trying to show them something. He's trying to teach them something, but he needs to get them to a greater place in their Christianity. The Bible says that he answering said unto him, Master. The term master means teacher or someone who is a master in the sense of a teacher. And that's important because sometimes we only see God as a master and we don't see God as Lord and God. There needs to be a transition. There needs to be a transition where he's not just a great teacher, but he's our God. So therefore, when we listen and hear what he says, that it is we move by his command because he's not just a teacher, he needs to be your God. The text says, in the text, he called him master. We have toiled all night long. Now he's listening to, he's talking to Jesus. Now we see how crazy this sounds to us because we can understand it, right? He's talking to Jesus, who's God, and he's telling God what they've already done. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes when God asks more of us, we can say, God, I've worked all night. I'm tired. And when the ministers or the elders or the people are asking us to do more, you tell them what we've already done and how tired we are and how much we're going through, right? We always can give those excuses. But I want you to know tonight that if we just do what God says and if we do it the way God says it, God will bless our efforts. Look at this text. The Bible says they had toiled all night long and had taken nothing. Not one fish, not two fish. They had not caught one fish. The Bible says, nevertheless, I need us tonight to have a nevertheless spirit. Nevertheless, say, preacher, we have to do things differently. And that's the beauty of understanding that in this pandemic, we literally had to do some things differently. We had to change some things. Amen. Things change for us. Sometimes God allows things to happen so we make us change. In Acts chapter 8, the church was supposed to leave Jerusalem, but they stayed there. Guess what? They didn't leave till persecution showed up. Then they left Jerusalem and went to Samaria and other parts of Judea and went preaching the gospel as they were supposed to do in the original of their task. So I want you to know tonight that sometimes God has to bring about some turmoil. Sometimes God has to bring about some things to shake us up, to make us do what we know we should be doing when we're not doing it. Here we are in the text. The Bible says that they caught nothing all night long. And the Bible says, nevertheless, we have to have a nevertheless spirit. Well, it didn't work before. That's all right. If it didn't work before, we got to do a different methodology. I remember back in the day that door knocking was the best way, man. We would go to doors and we would knock on doors all day long and we would knock on doors and people, we would pass out those tracts or we would have Bible studies with people and people would love to sit down and talk with you. But we're coming in an age now where folk won't even open their door. Y'all not saying nothing tonight. They won't even open their door. They don't even want to, matter of fact, they're like, they don't even want to be bothered with you knocking on their door half the time. So guess what? We can use different methodology, different things. That's not our only method. Amen. There's other ways. Now, guess what? Most of people are on all over the internet. They're on Facebook. They're on Snapchat. They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram. Amen. They're all over the place. Guess what? Let's go fishing. Let's use everything we can, because if they've got everything else out there, why not bring Jesus to the fish? Amen. Let's bring Jesus to the Facebook. Bring Jesus to the YouTube. Bring Jesus to the Instagram. Bring the Lord's church to them. Because sometimes, listen, you can't catch the fish because all the fish are not going to come to the shore so you can just pick them up and walk them to the house. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to get dirty and you have to go where the fish actually are. That means we're going to have to become uncomfortable, because we've been comfortable doing it certain ways sometimes for a very long time. And that's okay. We can still use some of those methods. But I come tonight to tell you that maybe we've got to broaden our horizon. Amen. The devil is putting his news all over the world. It's time for us to use every platform we can. Amen. Radio, TV, everything we can use. Let's put our efforts together for one cause, to get the true message out. They are getting their message out. Let's counter their message with the true message of God. Putting our efforts together to be on television, to be in the television on Gainesville, to do those things. It doesn't matter who's the preaching the lesson. It doesn't matter who's saying it. As long as the gospel, as Paul said, as long as the gospel is being preached. Amen? That's what matters. Because it's about fishing. It's about catching souls. Well, look at this text. The Bible says, nevertheless, at thy word, he understood that if God said it, the things can change. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will cast down the net. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and when they had done this, whenever we do it God's way, whenever we come together and do it God's way, and we take away the lines of whatever we have in our minds, whatever lines that we have in our minds of whatever it is, and we say, you know what, we're going to come together for the greatest cause in the world, and that's to save souls. So guess what? We're greater together than we are divided. We're greater together when we put our efforts together. Amen. We can do more when we put our efforts together. And I'm going to show you in this text, Jesus, by a story, by this historical account, is teaching them a very valuable lesson. And I want everyone in here tonight to get this lesson, because this lesson means everything. It means everything. Because the reality is, there are people out there that don't know the truth. There are people out there that are good people in bad places. Good people who have believed bad teachings and bad doctrines and bad ideologies, and are listening to people who are not telling them the truth. But we, as the Bible says, we have the truth. And we should not let the gospel be hid unto them, because we are hiding it in ourselves. The Bible says here, when we look at the text, when they did what Jesus said and they cast the net on the right side. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 7, and all of a sudden, the Bible says in verse 6, and when they had done what the Lord said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And the multitude was so great that their net nearly broke. God now does something. It's amazing how God can direct the fish to one side of the boat. Isn't that interesting? God says, I'm going to bring all the fish to the side that I told you that it was going to be at. Let me tell you something. Whenever we do what God says, don't worry about the fish being there. God will make sure the fish are exactly where he told us to go. I need y'all to get that. Let me say that one more time. I don't want you to miss it. When we come together and do the work of the Lord, and we come together and we say, we're going to take Gainesville by storm. We're going to take the campus. We're going to take this city. We're going to take this whole county. We're going to take it by storm, and we're going to work together, every congregation, hand in hand, foot in foot, resource in resource, because we are the church of Christ, and we have God behind us, and if we come together, there is nothing that can stop us. I believe that we are the church of Christ, and I believe if we come together, there's nobody and nothing that can stop us, because God will be absolutely and 100% behind us. So the Bible says in this text that the net nearly broke, but I need you to understand, if you do it by yourself, the net will break. If it's only one congregation trying to do it all by themselves, you're going to lose some fish. If there's only one people that are trying to do it all by themselves, then guess what? Some fishes are going to get away. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the more hands on nets, the more fishes make it to the dock. Oh, my goodness, tonight. I need y'all to understand it. I need you to know tonight that the more hands on nets, because what is it about? It's not about who and whose ship the fish get in. Y'all not seeing it. If they go to your congregation, it doesn't matter. They're still in the body of Christ. Amen. If they go to Glen Springs, it doesn't matter, because that's still the church of Christ. It doesn't matter if they go to Southeast 10th Avenue. Guess what? They're still in the church of Christ. Amen. It does not matter. As long as they get from the sea and to the ship and one day to the promised land of heaven. Amen. That's what matters. But in order for us to do that, this text is teaching us something. Jesus taught us by historical lessons. He taught us by actual physical stories. He's teaching them, if you want to get the fish to the land, you need every ship. Peter's ship, Zebedee, all of their ships, guess what? They had to come together if the fish were going to make it to the land. What are you telling us tonight, preacher? I'm telling you that if we want to get more fish to the land, then everybody comes together. And when we come together, guess what? More hands on nets. And with more hands on nets, we can accomplish more. Together, the term team, together, everyone accomplishes more. United we stand, divided we fall. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. Here we are, the greatest people in the world. We have the greatest people in the world. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father. We have Jesus as our mediator. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. We have all of these things. Nothing can stop us. All we have to do is decide, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. And let's put our heads together. Let's put our resources together. Let's do everything we can to save souls. Because guess what? At the end of the day, that's what matters. At the end of the day, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about souls. It's the fact that somebody was born again. It's the fact that somebody was added to the body of Jesus Christ. That's what matters. So now after this happens and they have to bring it together, as I get ready to close here on tonight, the text would tell me this. They needed some help. And he beckoned his partners in verse number 7 that they should come help me. Amen. And they came, and guess what? When they helped each other, guess what? They filled what? Both the ships. Listen to me. I want you to know when we do it right, both ships going to get full. Yeah, you didn't get that. Both ships. Both ships. This ship full, that ship full, that other ship full. Y'all not seeing it. Every ship gets full because we're all working together. And the more we work together, you don't have to worry about your congregation growing, because your ship is going to be filled. My ship is going to be filled. All our ships will be filled, because it's not about us individually. It's about how great we work together. So as we close, when we see this, guess what? Peter is awakened. He is awakened to the power of who Jesus really is. He's awakened to the reality of who Jesus is. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a man, but he is God in the flesh. He comes to a better understanding. The Bible says when Peter saw it, when he realized, when he recognized, when the light came on, the Bible says he fell at Jesus' knees. That is a worship type of physical action. He fell at the knees of Jesus to worship him, realizing that Jesus was not just a man, but he had done a miraculous thing that could not have been done by anyone else. The text says, he said, "Leave me. I don't even deserve to be in your presence. Depart from me. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful man." For he was astonished at what had been done, at the drought that had been caught. And the Bible says, "And also you had James, John, and the sons of Zebedee, and the partners of Simon." And Jesus said unto them, "Fear not." Here is the beauty. "Henceforth thou shalt catch men." What are you doing, Jesus? I let you catch those fish and I showed you something, but it's not about those fish. I want you to take that action, and now let's go catch men. So I say to all of us tonight, as we gather here so beautifully, I listen to your songs, even though sometimes we sing songs differently. Spencer was singing that song and we sing it a little bit different than y'all do, but that's all right. Amen. That's all right. And we got to get over that type of thing, right? We sing things differently, and that's just a cultural thing sometimes. That's all right. Differences should not bring about concern or fear. Amen. We are different, but yet we are the same. Peter and Paul were not the same, but yet they could work together. I need you to understand that you don't have to be the same to work together. You just need to be unified in mind and in purpose, and that is the purpose of God. Amen. So in this text, I will let you know, as I get ready now to give you the invitation, I would tell you this. Peter had to get to a place where he understood who Jesus was. The first thing when it comes to about faith, I need you to understand that the Bible says, but without faith, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, it's impossible to please him. They that come to God must, M-U-S-T, believe that he is. That's the first thing. You have to know who he is. Because if you don't know who he is, then you are already lost already. You need to understand who he is and be fully convicted in who he is. He is the Son of the living God, and God the Son. He is the one who came and died on that old rugged cross. Died for you and for me, shed the blood, took the nails in his hand and the nails in his feet. And you believe that with all of your heart and be fully convicted and persuaded at the finished work of Jesus as he died, buried, but early Sunday morning, thank God. I'm glad for the sacrifice, for the blood, the atoning sacrifice. But I'm even greater excited for the fact that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And if you believe that with all of your heart, fully persuaded, fully convicted, change your mind, turning away from a life of sin and turn to God. Make that beautiful and grand confession, that is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you go down in the watery grave of baptism. It is a grave because we died to sin. Paul told the Christians in Romans chapter 6 that they died to sin. They were buried with him in baptism. It is also for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse number 38, it is for the pardoning of one sin. I'm glad that God will pardon me when I be obedient to his command. And when we are baptized, we meet him in the water and he washes us from all our sins. Colossians chapter 2, we receive the cutting away, the circumcision, an operation that is of faith. So I want you to know tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, guess what? I'm casting a net tonight. I'm casting a net tonight and I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Because whatever you've done and wherever you are, I want you to know that the Lord has already paid the price for dying at the cross of Calvary for your and my sins. And he's calling you to come home. He stands at the door and knock. Will you let him in tonight? We're going to stand tonight. Let us all stand as we prepare ourselves for the song, for the invitation. God bless you, and amen.
No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one.
Amen. Please be seated.
Yeah, please be seated. Come here, brother. I appreciate both of our lessons tonight, but I want to tell you, this man is not standing up here because he's feeling well. He's been in the hospital this week. He works a full-time job at Shands, and he works basically a full-time job as the pulpit minister at Southeast 10th. And his blood pressure shot through the roof this week. We need to pray for our brother. He's got a lot to offer to the body of Christ. And I've gotten to know him over the last couple of months. We've had lunch together. And I love this brother right here. He also has a family he has to take care of. And if he kills himself for his job or he kills himself for the pulpit, who's going to take care of his family? He needs his health. And we need to be in prayer for him. And would you please join me in praying for our brother Adrian? Our God and our Father in heaven, we are so blessed to be in your presence tonight. We're so thankful for these beautiful messages, these messages that challenge us to be unified and to work together for your glory and not ours. We're so thankful for these songs that express the feelings of our heart, that give praise and honor to you and encourage each other. But Father, we also appreciate so much this avenue of prayer. We are so grateful, Father, for your love for us, that you open up this door where we can talk to you. And we pray, Father, on behalf of our brother Adrian tonight, that you would bring about a resolution to his health circumstances. Father, you know all things. You can do all things. And we ask you to heal our brother, that his blood pressure would be under control, that it would remain under control, that his health would not be compromised by this circumstance, and that he would have many years of service in your kingdom to your honor and glory. Bless him, bless his family, Bless this congregation as well as all of those who are represented here tonight. Father, bless us to be your servants. But please bless your servant Adrian tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thine hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, your God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And okay. And forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, well, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take thee home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Good evening. How great thou art. That was wonderful. My name is Todd McFarland. For those of you who don't know me, I, on behalf of the elders, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. It is wonderful to worship with you. Wonderful. 200 here tonight, and it sounded like 1,000. It was really wonderful. Thank you, Mark Mosley, for that lesson on unity. What God has joined together, let man not separate. Amen. Thank you. Also, Adrian. Those were wonderful leftovers, I have to say. Make sure Jesus is in the boat. Do not work alone and go where the fish are, just to mention some of the highlights. That was wonderful. Whenever we have the opportunity to worship somewhere else, maybe it's in the mission fields, maybe L2L, wherever it is, whatever event that is, it's wonderful to see God working in the lives of others. It's wonderful to see the love of God and other people in our community. And it was just such a blessing to be here with you tonight. Thank you very much. May love rule in your hearts. May the Lord bless you abundantly and make you fruitful in your fellowships. Thank you very much. Who has closing prayer this evening? Go ahead, John.
Let us stand as we close in prayer. Let us bow. Most gracious, Holy Father, thank you for this assembly. Father, help us to remain focused, anchored in Christ's love. Father, we understand from your word that we have to empty ourselves of the idols of pleasure, idols of politics. Help us to truly harmonize our differences to serving this community. Help us to not look at the popularity of this world, but to be approved workmen handling the word of truth. Guide us and strengthen us. Have mercy on us. Guide us as we prepare to teach, train, tutor, mentor, and coach the next generation of leaders. And bless us in our efforts in this community. This is our humble prayer we ask. Strengthen us physically, emotionally, mentally, and foremost paramount, spiritually, with your Holy Spirit. This is our prayer we beg and ask. In Jesus' name, amen.